I guess probably the first question I have is, what exactly did the USS Constellation do in French Indochina?
Okay, we were the medical support for the forces that were involved in the evacuation process.
Okay.
And I don't know too much about the goings on in the medical departments, because I was in, there's a hospital on the ship, and then there's ship's company, and I was in ship's company, not connected with the medical department of the ship.
Okay. What exactly did you do in ship's company?
I don't know if you know anything about the military race, but I was a first-class yeoman, which is kind of like a stenographer, secretary.
Okay.
Secretary to the captain.
Okay. Do you recall exactly when the Constellation, or approximately when the Constellation was dispatched over to French Indochina?
No, I've gone through my papers, and some are missing. I retired in 68, and of course we've moved about three times since then.
Sure.
The papers get lost and whatnot, but I was on board the Constellation less than a year. And when I went on board, I believe she was Incheon.
Okay.
In Korea, and then from there we went down to Touraine.
Okay.
For that action or whatever it was.
Right. Yeah. That's present day Da Nang.
Yeah. And I don't know where they land, if they took the refugees on into Saigon or what, but I went over into the city of Touraine, which is now Da Nang.
Right.
And I went over several times, just to have something to do to get off the ship, because you couldn't go to any of the clubs or bars or anything over there. You had to carry your water with you, and I would go over just something to do. We could go over between 12 and 5.
Okay, this was Shore Liberty?
Yes.
Essentially? Okay.
And I didn't see any crowds of people. It was very, well, you can see some of the slides I'll send. There's a couple of scenes, and there's just no people around, no crowds of people, and they had, I remember a French garrison that was there, and we just walked around and catched the boat back to the ship. And, of course, I think I noticed on the list of ships that you had the USS Delta.
Yeah.
Listed. Her hull number is 9. You had her listed. She's an AR, a repair ship.
Okay.
And I think you had AK something or the other as the designation.
But she's AR-9?
AR-9, yes.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, I served on her in 1950, so.
Okay, well, then you're pretty familiar with her then.
Yeah, and then I think the Ajax, which is a repair ship, might have been involved too, because they had built some floats at the beach there in Touraine Bay.
Okay.
Where we would go over and have barbecues and drink lots of beer and swim. And they had these little pontoons that went out into the water where the Liberty boats could tie up. And that was just about the extent of recreation there.
Yeah. Well, my understanding is that Touraine was really, that was the R&R area for those that were transporting people from north to south. So they would get the refugees, load them up in Haiphong, and then take the day or two-day trip, depending on what kind of craft they were on, down to Saigon. And then, but I'm wondering, even on the Constellation itself, were there ever any refugees that were...
No, I never saw any on the ship, and... I don't know what our government regulations are, in that regard, if they're allowed to treat, you know, the local people or what. But I never saw any on the consolation.
Okay. That's, yeah. I'm trying to figure out the role of the consolation itself. I've spoken with a few people. I'll be interviewing them, I think, later on this week, who do know of some refugees that were on board.
I'll do that.
But I'm not sure what the circumstances were.
Uh-huh.
But they were also in the medical corps.
Yeah. Well, those are the people that could tell you about that. But I'm sure in emergencies they would. I mean, you're not just going to let somebody go without assistance if you can help them. And don't, you know, it wouldn't matter where they were from or.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's sort of
do that, so.
Standard procedure, as it were, to make sure you knew what was going on. Well, now, what did you think of Terrain at the time?
Oh, I...
Or Da Nang, I guess we could.
Well, I found it interesting. You know, it's a tropical climate, so it was kind of warm and hot. And, you know, we didn't have to wear our uniform. We went over in sort of dungarees and whatnot. And it was pleasant walking around. You couldn't... we carried our canteen of water. We couldn't even get a soft drink. And there was a... I remember a movie theater. I think I have a picture of that, and you know, on the slides. But you can tell a little bit, and right as you come in, when the boats would go in, there was always a lot of little houseboats that people lived on, like the little tiny boats. Have you been to Hong Kong?
I haven't, but I've been to Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, the little ones, and actually people live on board, and it was interesting, you know, to see those when you come in, and they had an unusual method of catching fish that build kind of towers out in the bay, little platforms, and have a net out, and I don't know when they would pull it up, but they always had these fishing towers as we would be coming in, and with their nets out on a pole. It was just kind of a square thing, and was picked up with strings coming from the four corners and whatnot. So, yeah, but that was a long time ago.
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, memory fades.
Well, yeah, it does, but even faded memory is better than none at all, right?
Yeah.
Well, now...
I have an interesting little map, too, I'm going to send along. It's the Vietnam conflict map. I don't know if you have one of those or not, but it gives a chronological list of events leading to the conflict. You know, it starts in 1945.
Yeah, it goes. This is the one that includes the American involvement.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we do have a couple copies of that here.
Oh, okay.
The Constellation was really, you know, in support of this operation. Did you ever, was there any sort of news as to what was going on at the time in the operation? Did you guys ever get a sense?
Oh, yes. They have, even back then, we had the daily teletype news, you know.
Okay.
That would come out. It'd come over the teletype, and they would, post it. And there was, we always had our plan of the day published every day, you know, giving orders of, you know, what would be taking place on the next day, et cetera. And there was always little news bits in there about what we were doing, and everybody knew.
What did you think of that whole operation and
well,
the fact that you were in the middle of it?
It was something that had to be done, you know, and there was no other way that the people could have gotten that wanted to go south. There was no other way they could have gone, you know, without help from the outside.
Yeah. Without the United States there to,
right,
to get them on their way. Did, I guess as your job, you probably weren't involved at all in the medical side.
No.
So you probably didn't have a sense of what types of patients were on board.
No.
At the time, okay.
You know, I don't even know how long the operation lasted.
It was 300 days total, but yeah. I believe the Constellation was only there for about a month.
Yeah, that's what I think. We were there for about a month, and then I think we left there, and I don't know if we returned to the States. I know we had a little stint in Hong Kong and Yokosuka and San Francisco, and I left. I don't even believe I was aboard for a year, and then I left for duty in Sasebo, Japan.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I guess I'm curious, and maybe I can find this in the documents of why, for that 1 month period, they deployed you to Indochina.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to figure that one out yet, but hopefully I will.
Oh, why they deployed the
ship?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess for emergencies, you know, in case there was any sort of hostilities, because the Constellation could rig pontoons up on the side, and she could have two helicopters landing on either side and one on the flight deck, and this, so they would fly them right in from the battlefields during the Korean conflict. You know, soldiers would step on mines, and even after the ceasefire, and they would zoom them right in, so by helicopter. So
yeah.
I imagine that's what she was doing there. And I don't know if we were relieved by another hospital ship or not.
That's what I'm not sure of either.
Yeah. Well, maybe not, because at the little beach over there where we used to go swimming, there was beer, and they had, you know, the people that went over to take part in the recreation built all kind of things out of the empty beer cans.
Right.
And I mean, soon as the ship pulled out, they looked back, and somebody says that people came down from the hills and, you know, were grabbing up the beer cans and anything else, and
yeah,
I guess they could make things out of them, you know.
Well,
I know in Japan you could scratch the little furry toys back in 1946, and you could see Swiss beer or something like that written under them.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, you recycle for just about anything.
Yeah.
You know, anywhere from housing to...
Oh, yeah, they make stovepipes out of cans.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever come across any of the French troops?
Yeah, I never talked to any, but we went into this one garrison and into the little courtyard, and there was some French soldiers out. They were killing a chicken for they were going to have it for dinner, and it was kind of grotesque because they just you know, stuck a knife in the chicken's neck and caught the blood. That was for the sauce.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk. I couldn't speak French, and the officer that I was with, he couldn't speak French. And, you know, we just nodded, and they knew that we were American forces, et cetera. So they didn't, you know, nobody tried to talk to anybody.
There wasn't really any interaction.
No, I didn't see any massive troop movements. The town was really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And, as I say, very few people moving around, so...
Do you think that was a product of the war that was going on, or just the fact that it was a pretty sleepy town?
Well, it might have been, you know, people just were not coming out. They were staying hid, because who knows what kind of information had been published, you know, for them.
Right.
You know, it was like, I know when had friends that I met in Korea who were in Japan at the time the war ended there. They published, the Japanese authorities published, says, "Don't approach any Americans, they'll kill you on the spot." And he says he was really trembling and scared the first time he approached an American soldier after the end of the war, you know, the Second World War. So I imagine that the... You know, people, the communists probably published all kind of information that
They did indeed,
hide and stay out of the way.
Certainly a lot to the refugees that were in Hanoi and Haiphong at the time.
Yes.
That, if they went out on the ships, they would be thrown overboard, things mm-hmm. of that nature. So did you ever come across any children at all?
Because
they're
no.
usually a little more adventurous than older
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, just, there may have been a couple, I can't remember.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, I would be very interested in seeing... and seeing your photographs.
Okay, and, well, I'll send them off to their slides.
Oh, slides,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, you needn't worry about sending them back or anything, the slides. I mean, because they absolutely would mean nothing to anyone that I know.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what I can do for you, if you'd like, is I can put them in the archive and then just start a collection under your name. And that way they'll be preserved here in the archive for any researcher along the line. I'll probably do that after I get my book published, though.
I hope I'm still around when your book's published.
Well, I'm only looking probably about 18 months away, maybe two years.
Oh, great.
So I hope you better be.
Oh, great. Yeah, I hope so. Well, I'm in the zone now, so we all reach the zone at one time or another.
Well, yeah, I suppose so.
It's just interesting that to me that here I've spent 20 years in the military, and I figured, well, the whole thing was kind of just here today and gone tomorrow, and then all of a sudden I get your letter, and maybe there's a little something that I done that, might help somebody out someday down the line or of interest to someone.
I think it's an incredibly interesting. I wouldn't be writing the book if I didn't think it was interesting. So I guess
yes.
I'm a pretty non-objective audience.
Right.
But for what we were able to do at the time, given the incredible amount of people and materials that we moved from north to south,
mm-hmm.
I was shocked when I couldn't really find anything on the subject, which was really what spurred me to begin this process of researching and then talking to those that were a part of it.
Yeah,
it's been really rewarding for me, and I hope hopefully others will share at least in a part of the interest that I have in it.
Well, great. I hope so. Yeah. Another little interesting thing, what makes it so interesting for me is I was there in 1954.
Mm-hmm.
I was also in the Tonkin Gulf in 1964.
Oh, were you?
The Maddox and Turner Joy had just come in and relieved the destroyer I was on, and we went back to our home port in Yokosuka, and the families of the married servicemen on board this little destroyer had just arrived, to set up housekeeping and
mm-hmm.
spend 2 years with their husbands in Japan. And we were there that night, and I think sometime during the night we got underway. They had supposedly sighted the torpedo boats and had some torpedoes fired at them.
Right.
Well, we got underway, and half of our crew was left in Japan, and we pulled into Manila and picked them up there and went on over into the Tonkin Gulf again. So
you went into the Tonkin Gulf after August of 64, after the incident? Or
we had just left.
What destroyer were you on at the time?
Rupertus, DD-851.
Okay.
And, that's what we'd done for the 2 years, was just patrol in the South China Seas.
You were part of, was it Operation Market Time?
Well, we were at Whiskey Station or Alpha Station, Yankee Station, and right off of Da Nang a couple of times, which I thought was interesting since...
Kind of like revisiting the past.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any contact with the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese?
No, we done just shore bombardment, with our 5-inch guns. They'd tell us to give us the coordinates, and we'd fire, and that would be it.
Okay, so you did combat support or fire support.
Yeah, we did take a couple of, I guess, shells exploding too close, and fragments would fly around the deck a little bit, but no one on our ship was injured or anything.
That's good. Yeah, it's that's another whole, I guess, another whole chapter in this this episode.
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. In fact, it's surprising. You know, people, they don't know that Laos and Cambodia were part of the whole, you know, French Indochina Peninsula thing there. I mean, it was,
yeah.
And, you know, back in 46 or somewhere back in there, it was, you know, divided up with French connections, I think they say.
That's right, yeah, the French.
Vietnam, Laos, and, yeah.
What year did you join the Navy then?
I went in 46 or 45.
Okay.
And came out in 46 and then went back in 50 when the Korean War started. I knew I'd be called, so I just went.
You volunteered,
volunteered
to go in.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Well, let's see, I guess, is there anything else about that period in 54 that you think would be of good interest for the story?
No. Do you have any connections with medical personnel?
We do have some, yes.
Okay, I do remember a quartermaster aboard the ship whose name was Fronista from Ohio. His brother was also on board. He was a corpsman at the time, and I think he's now a doctor.
Okay.
So they were there at that time. I'll get my... I think I have their address somewhere. I'll see if I can find his address and maybe.
Is it? It's their Harry and Lewis.
Lewis, yes.
Bernista, yeah. They live in Dayton.
Oh, Ohio, okay. Now. Oh, you contacted.
Yeah, I sent them. I sent them actually the same letter that I sent you.
Oh, great.
So I have not heard from. Well, you know what? Wait a second. I talked with someone. No, I didn't. I talked with another gentleman today, Lewis McLusky.
Yeah. Yeah, Lewis Bernista.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hopefully they'll be able. One of them will call me, one of the brothers, and I'll be
well,
able to,
it,
to talk.
Well,
to
it, yeah, I'm sure it, his brother. I don't know what his brother's name was, but
Harry.
he was in the medical department, so he would be able to give you all sorts of information from that end.
Okay. Well, that yeah. Hopefully, I've had a couple people. I sent out quite a number of letters. Because Ted Pavinsky was kind enough to help me out there, and I've had pretty good response back so far.
Yeah, well the Consolation has a reunion every 2 years or so.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have never been to one. I didn't have any close ties there. You know.
Sure.
This was a sad thing about the military. You'd meet people, and you would become close for 2 years, and, you know, you'd almost go out and kill for each other, but you're transferred, and you never hear from them again.
Right, right.
So I didn't bond with anybody when I was on the Consolation, because I was there, I think, a little less than a year, and I haven't kept in touch with anyone, so.
Well, who knows where the next reunion will be. Maybe you can go visit.
Well, yeah. Well, I think the last one was just in Long Beach, California.
That's right. Yeah, it was in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you do have my address.
Oh, yes.
And I'll look forward to looking at the all the slides and everything.
Yeah, I'll get those up. I'll put them in envelopes and try and you know indicate what they are.
Some okay. Oh, that would be very.
Some of the slides I've written on, but they, you know. It won't hurt the picture.
You're right.
And they're in fairly good condition. That's surprising.
Well, it's, I mean, that'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, if I'm able to use any in the book, I'll make sure that you get the credit for them, that they're
okay.
Your photograph.
The Consolation, I think, might have put a cruise book out at that time.
I believe they did.
Yeah, so I don't know if you could get a copy of it. I don't know how you would get a copy of it, because unless you could find somebody that had one. You know, I don't ever remember having one, but I think they did put a cruise book out.
If I'm not able to find someone who has one,
yeah.
I'm sure they would have one at the Navy Historical Center, and I'm planning to go there this summer. So.
Well, you know what? I guess I'd be, I don't remember too much about the Constellation. It was kind of, you know, I had a very, not a strenuous job, but a very unusual one. They, you know, when to get promoted, you compete in a fleet-wide examination,
right,
for your different pay grades. And on the Constellation in the medical department, these the corpsmen had taken the exam, okay, and they, the department projects a percentage of second class will make first, and et cetera, fleet-wide. The percentage on the Constellation was almost as much as the exams were fleet-wide, and so there was a big investigation, and I had to record that, and that took up quite a bit of my time.
I bet it would have, yeah.
Yeah. There, but I think there was, it ended up, there was no evidence of any kind of collusion or anything, so.
It's just one of those things that happened.
Yes.
Yeah, those happen even in the Navy, too, don't they?
That's right. Oh, and another interesting thing, I just, you know, today now, women serve on board most all ships.
Right.
And back then, you know, there was nurses on the Constellation and a couple of female doctors. And it was real strange to walk to the little ship store on the Constellation and see all the stuff that women use, hair nets, deodorant, perfumes, and, you know, all the personal items that they use. So
actually,
that was an experience.
This Thursday, I'm going to speak with Ann Peterson,
mm-hmm.
who was on board at the same time. She was a nurse.
Oh, okay.
She's in El Paso. So I'll get a chance to get her perspective, which I think
will be
interesting.
Then. Oh, okay. That'll be good. Yeah.
So, yeah. I've been very fortunate that a lot of people have responded. So I really appreciate the opportunity to have a chance to talk with all you guys.
Well, I probably everybody wants their 10 minutes of fame, you know.
Well, you deserve it. I think you deserve it at least. So, if I have anything to say about it.
just to know that somebody is writing about something that you participated in. Well, it's you know, it kind of gives you a good feeling.
Well, good.
And I wish you great success.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And when this eventually does come to fruition and it's out, I'll make sure that people know about it.
Oh, great.
And,
but anything I can remember, I'll either send you an email or by the, you know, through the regular mail or something. And I'll get these slides off.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure.
I certainly appreciate it, and I will. I'll be looking forward to seeing those slides. I'll let you know when I get them. So,
okay.
Just when they arrive, so you know that they're here.
Good.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'll speak with you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Again, that was William Bennett. Today is the.